This is Getting Stoned, the podcast about all things gems and minerals, and I'm your host, Jonna Kreider. Today, I have David on from Sky Gems. David shares his favorite gem that he's currently in love with and tells me some stories about how he got into the gem and jewelry business. Hello, David. Welcome to Getting Stoned. How are you today?
Hello. So, you know what? I should actually get, how do I pronounce your name?
Okay, Jonna. I get that question a lot. Is Jonna, like John with an A on it?
Jonna. Awesome. Yeah, I thought it was Jonna. I don't know. All right. Yeah, go. All right. Let's start again.
Oh, well, okay, sure. Hello, David. Welcome to Getting Stoned. How are you today?
Hey, Jonna, I'm doing well. I'm up in Toronto, Canada. I haven't gotten stoned yet, but I'm doing great so far, and looking forward to chatting with you about some gems today.
Yeah, awesome. I like the name of your business, Sky Gems. It's really creative. What inspired that?
So that actually came from, it was named after my oldest son's name is Sky. I was operating, it's not a great story. I was actually operating, under a similar name to my dad's company, but they were different companies, and the government came along and told us we can't have the companies like doing business together and named similar, you know, have like similar names. So I had to change one, and I said, all right, well, name it after my son. He loves fancy, you know, he loves gems. He's 16 now, going on 17. And he absolutely loves gems. I made him a pretty cool ruby ring for Christmas.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Yeah, so he's kind of catching the bug a bit.
Got to get him started early. That noise you hear in the background is thunder. So, I do apologize. It's storming badly. They actually just had a tornado touchdown in Mississippi, I believe. And I'm just, like, on the other side of the river from, I live in Baton Rouge in Louisiana. So, I'm, like, way, way south of where you are. We're having crazy weather at the moment. So, you might hear some sounds.
I wasn't able to hear anything, so that might be. I would hope the I downloaded the software because it looks really, really cool.
Yeah, I love this. I love how I can just record on my phone. We could just do a podcast. It's like a phone conversation. It's just recorded, and then you can actually. I have a subscription with Epidemic Sound. So sometimes I'll do the podcast on my own talking about different minerals, and I just put in a little bit of music that I have the copyrights to, or, you know, just for specifically for podcasts. It's great. You can do all kinds of stuff now with technology. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's funny because I was doing going over my, a couple of ads that I made with, it's actually my cousin's son who does the editing for me. And I was looking at the film and I said, you know, there's like those beautifying filters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah. I said, can you like get one of those for me? He's like, I don't know if we can do that or whatever. I'm like, yeah, pretty sure you can. And yeah, I mean, it's like they're online, they're free online software based, you know, web based solutions to like rip video through and do video, you know, like video effects that would have cost tons of money as little as like 5 or 8 years ago. So
yeah, it's amazing. So how has technology helped your jewelry business?
So it's a blessing and a curse. You know, I've actually been, it's a blessing because, I mean, I get to reach out to you. I get to reach out to people all over the world. When you're talking about colored stones in particular, although, you know, we see stones selling, you know, at auction and whatnot for large sums of money. In reality, it's a fairly small niche market. most people, if you know, if you showed 99% of people in the United States or in Canada a tourmaline, they just shrug their shoulders and go, huh? I don't know what that is. Is that a diamond?
Well,
Right?
this is an emerald or a ruby. Yeah, I've had
You
that.
know, well, even you know, and that's it. Even an emerald or a ruby, you know, okay, there's a little bit of understanding, right? But even, you know, I had a local customer came in, and you know, we made some nice pieces for him, and then he was asking, and he was well moneyed, and he said, you know, made some pretty big impressive things for him, and then he said, okay, so how about ruby? Can we do like a big ruby piece? I said, well, like how big? He said, well, how much is like a 50 carat gem quality amazing ruby? And I was like, and I said they don't exist. And he said, what? And I said, no, there's no such thing. I said, there's no such thing. I said, like, you know, 20 carats is about as big as it gets before you just can't, it's just not nice anymore, right? Like it's, they just don't exist. And you know, he's like, no, but like somewhere there's a 50 carat ruby. Like, no, like not on this planet, right? Like maybe on another planet, somewhere the conditions exist. And he's like,
It's like,
oh,
it's
okay.
that big.
Right? Like 50 carat, you know, 50 carat. What he was looking for was like something the quality of the graph ruby. And he, like and that, but not 8 carats, you know, not 8 close to 9 carats, 50 carats. Right. And you know, so the number of people who understand that a 2 carat fine quality unheated ruby is a big stone is fairly small. So, you know, being in Toronto, okay, Toronto's a pretty cosmopolitan city, but even still, 2.5 million people, you know, at the time when I started, it was, you know, under 2 million for right in Toronto proper. And yeah, it allowed me to reach everybody all over the world all the time. So that's definitely the blessing part of it. The curse side is, you know, when I started in 1999 is when I started online, and I was selling on eBay, and it was a little new and a little novel, and everybody was pretty, you know, innocent or naive or whatever, and you know, people, not everybody had been ripped off by that, right? Like we've kind of come to a point now where, you know, everybody's been ripped off and everybody's cynical, and the amount of like paperwork you need to back up the, you know, any gem is, you know, it's just because of the number, you know, it made it easy for bad actors to come in and really kind of spoil the pot for a lot of other people. A lot of people coming in selling, you know, synthetics and fakes, and you know, glass-filled ruby was just a whole other thing. And yeah, so
That is a big curse. I work with, I don't work with the fine gems. I'd like to get to that level, but because I wire wrap jewelry, I don't do any soldering or any. I just work primarily with wire and a little bit of beading. Well, usually with the wire, and so I work with the lower quality. Sometimes I'll get like an AA grade or even a triple A grade something in, and but a lot of my clients or a lot of my customers, they like the earthy type of jewelry, the bohemian type of feel. So I work with the a lot of raw and uncut stuff, including diamonds. There are some really pretty raw diamonds out there. So it's really fascinating hearing you talking about, like, you know, the process of certifying the gems, the paperwork. That to me, that's something that's I that I'm a fish out of water of, and I would love to learn more about.
well, that's I mean, as far as certifying goes, so GIA is kind of the you know, up there as the gold standard. It's almost certainly the most well recognized that, you know, you can kind of travel to anywhere in the world, and it's, you know, and it's accepted. There are a couple of other labs that, you know, are arguably, you know, as good or better, right? There's Dublin and there's SSEF, and a couple of others, but you know, I usually just stick with GIA. It's the gold standard. Everybody uses it, you know. So that's, yeah, that's kind of where I've gone with it. It makes my life a lot easier when stones just have a cert and I don't need to answer any more questions about, you know, how do I know it's real or this or that or the other
You
thing.
have that paperwork that back and
It just,
forth.
you know, here it is what it is. And I remember one time I had somebody ask me if I could meet them at their jeweler's. And their jewelers just happened to be right around the corner from my home. So I said, yeah, sure. I saw, you know, they said, will you meet me at my jewelers? They're here. I said, sure, whatever. It's like it was about a 3 minute walk from my house. So went, met them at the jewelers, and you know, he wanted to see a few stones. So I pulled out, it was a few emeralds, really nice stones, and few emeralds, pulled them out and showed them, and the guy, you know, the store owners looked at him. He said, oh, you know, Alex, don't, yeah, don't worry about that. He has GIA certificates on them. Like they're good. I don't even have to look at them. It's okay. They're legit, right? Just look at them if you like them or not, but you know, and if the price is okay or not, but you know, there's no question it's real, and that's it. And so, yeah. And that was, you know, that was that. So that's the, you know, when that's the reaction, well, it's worth, you know, certifying, and it just makes life a lot easier. You know, that said, I probably have like $100,000 invested in GIA paperwork right now, right?
That's awesome.
Right. Well, no, the certs aren't cheap, right?
Yeah,
Right.
definitely with that with the CIA. I've seen some pretty expensive ones on the out there.
Yeah, so well, the GIAs, I mean, they start at 70 for the, you know, for the smallest stones, and then it's all up from there. Right, so I have certs where, you know, when you have a larger emerald that's like over 30 carats that you want an origin report on it, well, it's starting to get a little pricey. Right, you're looking at 550, 650 or something like that for just for the certificate. So yeah, it does. It adds up.
Yeah. So how did you get into jewelry and gems? It was through your father, because you mentioned he had a jewelry store.
Yes, he was a gem dealer, and he was actually, he kind of moved more primarily into emeralds. He had an office in Bogota. He's in Bogota right now. But yeah, he had an office in Bogota for a number of years, and for probably about 30 probably about 35 years. Keeps an apartment down there, and yeah, so that was, you know, that was kind of that. I actually split from my dad in business when I was 21 in 1999. You know, I'd say, which it's an interesting thing because people will often ask, you know, do you know, was it a good thing you split or not? And you know, I would say that it was definitely, you know, definitely good to, you know, split and go out on my own and do my own thing. You know, kind of do things my own way. You know, he did, you know, he was very much, I mean, how he did business, there is almost, you know, it's almost completely extinct, right? Like he would go and he'd buy parcels of emeralds, and he'd go and he would sell parcels of emeralds. Right now, there's very few people that are still buying, you know, pretty much dealers are buying parcels, and jewelers, and everybody else is buying single stones. And that's, you know, that's just kind of that. So yeah, he was doing a little bit more of an old school way, and you know, he was traveling all the time. I didn't want to travel as much. So yeah, I split off and said, hey, you know, I mean, I still, at that time, I had to travel a lot more. than I do now. But yeah, had to, you know, he was, you know, he was out of town 6, 7, 8 months a year. And I probably only had to travel a month and a half, 2 months, which I thought was much, much, much more reasonable.
Yeah, you could stay home more often.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite? What's your favorite gemstone? Do you have like a favorite or a bunch of favorites?
So, I actually have a stone right now that's like my newest baby. It's a, like I don't know that I've ever actually loved a gem as much as I love this ruby. It's a 2.13 carat unheated ruby, and it might be, I've seen bigger rubies, but I don't know that I've ever seen, and like it's up there as one of the finest rubies I've ever seen. It's a super interesting stone. It's from Mozambique, and it's unheated. And normally, stones from Mozambique that are unheated don't fluoresce much. Stones from Mozambique don't really fluoresce much because they're
Next question.
iron. Sorry?
I said that was going to be my next question. Does it fluoresce?
No, it well, most rubies from Mozambique don't fluoresce, and this one does like crazy. I actually, it's up on my Instagram, and
Oh my goodness. I definitely want to get that link
it's
from you.
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely incredible. And you can't even get it on camera. So when I make it fluoresce on camera, it comes it whites out the stone. It just looks white. It's a crazy, it really is a crazy stone. It has, you know, super, super strong blue fluorescence to it, and I've never seen that in
Wow.
a unheated Mozambique ruby before, and it's really something special. It almost looks it like all the fluorescence in it is so intense that it actually it cancels out any of the extinction from the cutting. And, yeah, it's a pretty special piece. So that's my favorite individual gem right now. But that's right now.
I know. I'm the same way. I say, oh, this is my favorite. Oh, no, this one's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's just they're all so neat.
Yeah.
That is cool that it fluoresces a blue. I've seen rubies fluoresce like a hot pink. And what you were talking about, the white light, that happens often when you're trying to test it and see if they fluoresce. The camera, sometimes it just doesn't see it.
Yeah, no, the camera can't even pick up what you're seeing, and you're just like, wow, this is intense. Like
Yeah,
you're
that happened
really
with a
seeing
couple
this.
of diamonds. Somebody sent me some diamonds. They're raw diamonds. One's like a peach, one's kind of like a light red. And they did not fluoresce to me to the naked eye. On the camera, they turned out right. I have the light. I don't have the UV box because I have cats. But I have the it's the Gem 10 pin, the long wave, and then I have a short wave too. But I want to get like a small box set up that I know my cats won't get into. So,
Yeah, it's funny. So why can't you have a box because of the cats?
yeah, I have a small home, and it's like my house is over 150 years old,
Okay.
so you can't really hang stuff on the wall. So you can't like you know how people have those
Yeah,
moving shelves and
less
stuff.
than plaster. I get what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. So I can't even get that. So because my original plan was to have that set up for all my stuff away from the cats.
Right.
And yeah, so I use these utility. I have like these cheap Walmart utility shelves that all my gems and stuff are on. And so I would have to set one of those up and near a plug. And again, my house was made before the invention of air conditioning.
Right.
It's yeah. So there's like two plugs in each room.
Are you in
So I.
Baton Rouge without air
Yes.
conditioning?
Oh, I have air conditioning.
Oh,
Trust me.
okay.
Yeah, that's why, like, each room, I have two big units. So, yeah, I have been without AC in Louisiana before when I was a kid, long time ago. My mom just didn't have it. Them triple digits without AC, it's not fun. So I have mine now. I'm an adult.
That's intense.
But yes, I have like two plugs in each room, and I have to coordinate my like setup and stuff around those plugs, and they're in weird places. Like they're across from each other in a wall, but if I wanted to have it on the other wall, which is across from me where I'm sitting at, you can't because that's the divider wall to my neighbors. The house I live in, they call them shotguns, okay? And these are type of houses that when you open the door, you see all the way through to the other end.
Right.
They're common in Louisiana, and I don't know if there are probably other areas of the South too, but and this was a giant shotgun that was divided into a duplex, and there's nothing but, again, it was an old house, so when they first separated the two parts, they left like a thin column between my wall and my neighbor's wall, and there's nothing but air, so you can't plug in anything. There's no wires, no anything in that. In the separator. So, you have to like coordinate around the plugs and, make sure like, you have your AC on its own plug and then you have your other plug for whatever it is you're working with. So I have to plan that out. And that's kind of why I've been slow. I want to learn, I do want to study gemology and I want to learn the tools and stuff, but I don't have the room to set up an in-home lab.
Right.
And I don't have enough. I don't think I have
Don't
enough
need
hours.
much. You really only need, you need one desk. That's what you need. You need to have space.
Okay.
One good sized desk, right? Like one desk of, 2.5 feet by 4 feet by 5 feet. If you could have 2.5 by 5 feet, that's more than enough.
Okay. All right, cool. So when you're just starting out in gemology, what was the first tool that you learned to work with?
Scale, loop, microscope. Really, everybody's a little different, right? So for me though, I found I've been looking at gems since I was really, really young. So I find microscope and even just a 10x loop to be my most important tool. I've seen so many stones under a 10x that I can just kind of look and I know what, I know what I'm looking at. I can see, if if I'm looking at emeralds, I can see, whether it's a little crystal in there or a three phase or some gas or whatever. Right, and same with sapphires, same with rubies, and even I mean it's interesting because I know and this is something that I know other people who say they can do the same thing, but I anybody it's completely unfounded, but I can just pick up a synthetic amethyst and kind of rub my finger across the face of it and okay, well, no, it's not real.
You can feel the
It's
difference, yeah.
not real, right? It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel the way it's supposed to feel. And when I was a kid, I used to just load, clean stones and load stone boxes for my dad. He used to go around and sell, just boxes with amethyst, and he'd sell them by the box, right? Whether it was to stores or whether he was selling to stores or whether he was selling to other dealers or manufacturers, whatever, he was always selling, pretty packing them up in these boxes and bringing them around. And yeah, I'd be the one that would be there, counting the stones and weighing the stones and putting the boxes together. And right, I mean, after you've touched, I don't know how many, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of stones, you just kind of get a feel for it. And
Yeah.
yeah, so I mean, to me, the most important tool is actually repetition. And that's, and it's like the whole thing of, I was actually just saying today, my cousin's son's been working with me a little bit, apprenticing. for me a bit, and just little stuff here and there. And I said to him, I said, look, like LeBron James is the great, is like not just the greatest basketball player, to live or, alive, but like one of the greatest athletes, like one of the most gifted, naturally gifted athletes the world has ever seen. And he still practices every day. Right. So, if LeBron James is that good naturally and he still needs to practice every day, you do too. And that's kind of the, I mean, I know for me too, I read every single day. I have, a lot of subscriptions. I'm subscribed to basically every trade publication there is. And I get the, and I get emails for every trade publication there is. And it's just, that's part of our job. So, yeah, repetition and research. So that's actually, those are the tools to me that are the most important tools, if that makes
I like that.
sense. So,
I like especially the repetition part because, like, you're only as good as much as hard as you go for it, you know? Like, you gotta put all your all into it and you gotta practice, like you said, you know?
And that's it. That's who's, that's how you become the best. And yeah, it's, if it was easy, say it all the time.
Everybody do
If it
it.
was easy, everybody would do it. But it's not easy. So.
I really just wanted to do it just to learn, because I got into gems and minerals. I actually believe it or not through the metaphysical side. I moved from Louisiana to Atlanta in 2005, and a couple of years later, I met this really cool couple, and the guy, his name was Daryl. He wire wrapped, and this was really my first time coming into like a jewelry store because I've always been like, oh, well, I can't really afford jewelry. It's, expensive. Not going in. I'm seeing all this really cool art with like the raw gems and minerals, whether or some of them were polished in the cabochons, and he didn't really have any faceted stones, and he was t just he would just when whoever would go in there, he would educate them about the healing properties of crystals, and so that's how I came into it, and I realized a crystal does one thing, and it's not because of magic, it's really because of science. It's because it's got scientific properties that enable it to do whatever it is people say it's do. And I'm not talking about like you put your stone on your third eye and you go on, you learn things. No, I'm talking about like more on the physical. Like there's this one bloodstone, they said, this book called The Crystal Bible. I read where she said it literally would stop the bleeding if you were cut. And there was this one time I cut myself in this store I was managing, and I didn't have any band-aids and I couldn't get to one, but I had a bloodstone. And when I used it, not only did it work, but I kind of figured out it was probably from applying the pressure. And there might have been something in that mineral mix that was a natural coagulant. That's what I mean about science, because minerals, they're a part of our everyday lives, whether they're powering your phones or you're eating them in your food. So they have so many roles in our life, and a lot of people forget that.
Well, a fun one here. So you know how, I don't know if you know this, but people used to believe that amethyst would keep you from getting drunk
You gotta put your mouth.
because as you and because they believe that as you would drink, the amethyst would become more purple. And
I didn't know about that part. That's
yes. Well,
fascinating.
here's the last part to it. The amethyst, as they drank, did become more purple and did become more saturated because when you drink, your pupils dilate and let more light and color in. So they were right that, when you drink, the amethyst got, brighter. And more saturated, but it didn't, you know, the physical properties of the amethyst didn't change. It was actually the alcohol that would change your perception of reality. So yeah, it was that's like one of my more favorite ones. It's funny because I was talking just today. I was making a video for this stone, this 2.13 carat stone, the ruby that I was talking about. That's just so crazy. And you know, they used to believe that people only royalty could hold rubies, because anybody who was not like divinely, of divine blood from the gods, they thought that anybody who wasn't divine would be burnt by rubies. And they also believed that if you put a ruby inside a cup of water, it would boil the water. Like, a ruby actually contained heat. And it's funny because with this stone in particular, when you're looking at it, when you have a stone that has this much color and this much fluorescence to it, when you have it a little further away, it actually looks like it's bigger than it is. Like, it kind of has this glow to it where, you know, it almost looks like it has like an LED inside it. You look at it, you say, I can kind of see how people believed that. Right. So yeah. It's kind of a funny one that way, but
I like that. Yeah, they do. Even garnet too. Garnet seems to have that inner fire, as I like to call it.
Yeah. The
have you put your ruby in a cup of water yet to see what happens?
It didn't boil it. No, I always I actually that's another tool. That's another kind of lower tech tool that I love, is a white bowl with some water in it. We actually get to see the zoning in the gem, any color zoning in the gem. So,
oh, cool. I'll try that in some of my photography. I make and sell jewelry, and sometimes I would take photos of the gems too, just to share online. And I've gotten into like creating like fun art pieces, digital art pieces with it. So I'm gonna try that with the bowl in the water when I do a cool stone. I have some uraniumite, which is probably too small for that, but I have a nice size ruby.
Amethyst is one of the most fun. Amethyst and citrine.
I got both.
Yeah, it's actually a good it's a good way to check if amethyst or citrine are natural, because when you put natural citrine or natural amethyst in water, you immediately see the color zoning. Every amethyst, they all have zoning.
Okay, so what exactly, I've read the term color zoning, but what am I looking for? Is it like two different colors in
no,
it?
No, well, it'd be with amethyst, it's, you know, it's the purple and clear, right? So there's the purple color, and then there's parts that have no color.
The part with no color, that shows, what does it mean when it has no color?
Well, the part that has no color, it's just the zone, it's the way the color acts inside the gem, right? And how much of the crystal has color to it. So, with amethyst, like I said, amethyst always, always, always has zoning. Always. It's even the finest, finest, finest amethyst I've ever had have all had some zoning, where you'll see some white spots and whatnot.
So if it doesn't have zoning, that means it's
probably synthetic. It's not actually like diagnostic. There's no labs that use it. The easiest thing to look for, if you have a microscope, is you look for double twinning or lack of the Brazil twinning or lack of Brazil twinning. If there's Brazil twinning, it's probably natural. If there's no Brazil twinning, it's probably synthetic. But, you know, like I said, this is a lot easier. You know, anywhere you go, you're going to have, you know, a cup and some water, and you're good to go.
I got a nice little white bowl in there and some water. I'm definitely going to experiment when it's daylight tomorrow. It's gonna be fun. Yeah. So speaking of the amethyst, I had a podcast with on this one on Getting Stoned with a gentleman by the name of Adam Stevens, and we talked about the amethyst and sobriety. And you know, one of the questions that came across was, has it ever been tested, like with a breathalyzer? Like, you know, we could find or get a hold of a breathalyzer, get drunk, and then put an amethyst in our mouth, but carefully not to swallow it, and then do a breathalyzer and see what happens. Just to test it, you know, for the sake of
yeah, time. You'd have to. I mean, you know, the problem. I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, the first thing I'm thinking about is sample size, right? And it's like, well, okay. Do we go right, like, and then you're gonna have to have, I mean, you know, you're gonna have to have like a double blind and you know, you'd have to like baseline everybody. But it's one of those things that I think that if you went to Tucson and you got enough like hippie gem dealers together and you promised to get them drunk over a several, like, you know, over a several night period, I think you could probably get 100 people together to run that, like, you know. it's still pseudoscience, but it's more sciencey, you know. It's science like
and it would be a fun thing to do. And you know, if anybody actually who, you know, and I do believe in the energetic properties of the stones and stuff, I just don't go to, like, I used to go crazy with it, you know. But there are some like people who scam out there using, oh, this crystal will do this, buy it for $300.
Well,
when it's a quartz crystal, they just renamed
it. it's so it's interesting, right? Because if we're going to talk about like the energetic properties and whatnot, people get into, you know, do you believe in it? And it's like, yeah,
kind of. I do. Well,
right.
Oh, you asked me, or you
just, oh, no, I really, no, I do. I really kind of believe in it. It's, you know, so I make a lot of, I don't market myself with it, right? Like I do not use it as a marketing tool. When I talk about it, you know, on the website, it's very much, you know, just a little bit at the intro, you know, people once believed that ABC XYZ, right? It's you know, I don't, it's not part of my marketing. And it's not part of my marketing on purpose. But I still kind of believe in it. And I make a lot of astrology gems, a lot of astrology rings for South Asian clients who, you know, like you wear a emerald on your pinky, or you know, a garnet on your third finger, or you know, a sapphire on your first finger, and whatnot. And I'm absolutely positive that there is at least some effect, even if it's placebo, because it ends up, if you are wearing a ring on your pinky finger that is meant to bring you good fortune, you are wearing that ring on your pinky finger all day, every day. That becomes a talisman and a reminder to you on a daily basis to do the things that bring, you know, good economic fortune, right? So you're going to work. And you're going to look for opportunity. And when you see something come up, you're more likely to look at it and see the opportunity as well as the problem, as opposed to only seeing the problem. And that's a completely, I mean, that's, you know, wearing it as a talisman. And this is something that, I mean, they have, you know, demonstrated, you know, however many times that it absolutely positively does work. It's you know, I mean, you can call it placebo effect, but there was a study about placebos. I don't know if you know about this. This is one of my favorite studies of all time. There was a study about placebos that when people were given placebos, and they knew that they were getting a placebo, about 25% of people still had an improvement in their condition. So it means that just the act of taking that placebo every day can be a mental reminder to the person to act with a, you know, in a certain way, think positively, feel better, and just, you know, feel better by feeling better. I mean, the, you know, any doctor, you know, any doctor, any nurse can tell you, you know, especially when you're talking about like palliative you know, ICU, patients, you know, the will to live is, you know, it makes the difference in whether people make it out or not. And it's the same, you know, the human mind is, you know, way more powerful than we can possibly understand. So that's from the most, that is my take from the most conservative point of view, right? Is that from the most conservative point of view, it still works. However, I personally believe there may be more to it. And the reason I believe there may be more to it is because a lot of these things are, I mean, first we have to come to an understanding of what a crystal is, right? And a crystal is an expression of an element or elements, right? So crystal, you know, a diamond crystal is a, you know, is carbon that has been crystallized. A sapphire crystal is, you know, a sapphire crystal is aluminum that has been crystallized. So now we have this. Would, can we agree? So Jonna, can I agree? And this is where we're getting outside of science, right? But can you and I agree that kind of, sort of, a crystal would be the purest expression of a element?
Definitely. And that's a beautiful way of putting it, too. I like that.
So these elements have all kinds of different properties and whatnot, right? I mean, you know, hydrogen, nice and explosive.
I
But
love that.
I mean, you know, as we can just go, we can go through all of them, but there's no, sorry. Sorry
It's
about
okay.
that. Yeah. You know, we can go through all of them, but there's, you know, there's no need. So now we're going to look at it and we say, okay, so we also know that we as humans have electricity, you know, in our bodies that go, you know, goes through, runs through us. That's how, like, we make our arms move and all that fun stuff. It is what it is. And so we now have a pure expression of an element, and we have a human who has the ability to, you know, who has, you know, electricity for sure. There's also been, you know, I don't know if you ever heard about this. There's, they've had, do you know what an fMRI is?
I've heard of
So
it, but I
an fMRI is, you know, basically like a live MRI. They actually did a test where these Shaolin monks were able to move, you know, they call it chi, we call it energy, call it whatever you want. And they could actually pick up differences where these Shaolin monks would be in these fMRI machines, and they'd be moving energy around throughout their, you know, into different parts of their body. You know, anybody who's like played with crystals has probably, you know, gotten their hands all, like when you get your hands all tingly, right? When you really get going and your hands start to tingle and you're like, holy cow, it's really going. We really got some juice going here, right? And that's a, I know, you know, I know a lot of people have felt that, right? I mean, whether it's, you know, sometimes when you're meditating, you'll get that and whatnot. So to me, the crystals allow another way to interact and another way to, you know, kind of focus that energy and use that energy, and sometimes just play with it, right? So.
Yeah, my first experience with a crystal was with moldavite. Have you heard of
Oh,
moldavite?
yes. Yes.
Yes, so when I want to say I was 14. I was young. Still going in from middle school and high school. And I was checking the mail one day, and as I was coming down the stairs, there was this bright flash of light, and lightning had struck like maybe 3 feet in front of me. And it was the most intense experience until I got a hold of some moldavite. Moldavite was even more intense than that when I finally was able to tap into it. I felt like I was buzzing after the moldavite for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's yeah.
I mean, it was just like I was on energetic speed.
Yeah, and that's well, and that's it, that's the thing. And I think that like just some people are kind of like just naturally more open to those energies
Oh,
than
I
others.
wasn't. I was completely closed because at first, because I went, it was Daryl was the one who taught me jewelry, whose store I went into. He told me how it literally healed his hand. So I said, I gotta go touch this stone. So I went to the store it was a gem store, Crystal Blue. And I went there, and the guy behind the counter, it wasn't the owner, it was somebody working there. He gave me a moldavite. Well, didn't give it to me to keep, but he just let me walk around the store holding it. And I felt nothing, absolutely nothing. So he takes every single piece of moldavite from behind the counter, at least about 2 grams worth. And then he goes, stand between. It was a quartz point and a quartz crystal ball, and they were huge, about as big as like a person. He said, go stand between those 2 quartz pieces. So I went and I stood, I want to say for about 10 minutes. I didn't feel anything for at least 10, maybe 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, it was just like a rush. I was like, okay, I'm gonna need you to take these stones.
Well, and that's if you're sitting there for 10 minutes thinking, I don't know about this, right?
And then boom.
Right. So yeah, it's like I said, I don't use it in my marketing and whatnot because I just don't think I know enough about it. But
You don't. There's honestly, I don't use it for marketing unless it's like if it's chakra jewelry and then I talk about what the stones are and what they're said to do or what they do. But I don't say buy this crystal because it does this. I say buy this if you want it jewelry and this is what it's known for. Now, I used to market it as healing stuff, but not everybody believes in it. And I want to be inclusive. If you like the piece, get it. You don't need to buy it if it's, oh, you don't have to believe in it in order to buy it, And I don't want to come across as telling customers, oh, you have to believe in this. No, you don't have to believe in it. If it likes it and it appeals to you, get it. If it doesn't, that's okay. That's my attitude now, and it took me a while to kind of develop that attitude because remember I came in from the crystal healing side of this.
right.
Like I didn't know anything about gemstones other than that ruby. The first thing that crossed my mind about gemstones were rubies and diamonds and emeralds. I didn't know the term colored stones. I didn't know anything about how they're real or any of the tools or even the word gemology. I didn't know that word. I didn't know there was like a phrase that covered the study of gems. I didn't know any of this getting into it. I just came in just randomly one day, walking into a couple's shop, and my life was changed forever. Literally, like jewelry sales have pretty much been my survival for pretty much most of my entire life. And I work from home now and have my side jewelry business, and life is great, like.
That's
Gemstones and minerals have changed my life for the better.
that. Hold on just one second, Jonna. My wife?
Okay.
Are you going riding? Oh, okay. Okay. All righty, my love. Okay, have fun. He finally won the battle of cuteness. Alrighty, I'm just doing a podcast. So, alrighty, I'll talk to you later, my love. Have fun. Bye. Love you too. Hey, Jonna.
That was sweet.
Okay.
Amazing.
So what were we, where were we? Oh, jewelry and marketing. And it's interesting you say that you used to do it, and now, right, you used to do the you used to use
Crystal healing as a
right.
marketing tool.
It's interesting that you said that you used to use crystal healing as a marketing tool, because and you say now you don't because you want to be more inclusive. And it's a very, like I said right from the beginning, it's really tough. You don't want to start going down this road of, at what point are you moving from being, a jewelry designer and gem dealer to becoming somebody's guru, right? Like,
And I think guru is an overused word. And this is something Daryl taught me. He always said that, he always said, I'm a student of life. I'm not a master. I'm always learning. And, and that's the mentality I want to adapt because if you stop learning, then it's over with. Like, what's the point? So the whole idea of a guru or a master, that doesn't appeal to me. Like, those labels don't appeal to me. An artist, now that's a label that's how I come across as an artist.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I don't even I always try to make the distinction for myself, and I'm not saying for you, but I'm saying for myself,
Oh, yeah.
between artist and designer. And I'm actually looking to work with somebody. I have somebody who we're kind of starting to do talking about doing an interesting collaboration. I saw, I look at his stuff and I just said, man, this is the difference between a designer and an artist, right? I could design 1,000, I mean, I've designed over 1,000 pieces for sure. I could design another 100,000 and I would never come out with anything that looks anything like what he comes out with. As a designer, I kind of like take elements of things, and try to put together something beautiful. And, to me, an artist is, there's a little bit more of a statement there behind the piece as to what it is and what it means. And yeah, it's but yes, I definitely, it's the creative part that I find invigorating.
Yes, and remember we were talking about technology. If I didn't have to list every single jewelry piece and market it, man. That's the beauty of technology. You can sell online, but you have to market yourself. And me personally, I'd rather just be in the studio making stuff all day.
Yeah, and that's one of the curses, right? And even if you have a store, right, or you have a studio, or you have a shop, or you whatever, right? You just sit there and make, and people come by and they take a look, and you can put some stuff on Instagram, whatever, but when you have to, I mean, I don't know if you've been to the website skygems.ca.
Yeah, I glanced at it
Yeah,
before.
I think we have about 1,800 stones listed, right? Emerald, ruby, sapphire, all the GIA certs. Like I said, $100,000 of GIA certificate. And it's a lot, and it's a lot of you end up having to have a lot of infrastructure. To kind of sell online that people I don't think really appreciate quite as much as they should, right? And
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, the creative process, especially for me. I don't know about how you, when you work, when you design, for me, the stones, the best way to describe it is that they speak to me. And when I'm wrapping one, if it doesn't feel right, I will undo it and redo it again.
even if it's in like 14 karat gold filled wire or even solid gold wire, because it has to feel right to me. Like, and that's how I've always done mine. They talk pretty much. They talk to me. You know?
Yeah, it's yeah, you're I'd say you're on a kind of like different you know, like I definitely know what you mean. I'll actually do a lot of the time is I'll sit. So even just today I had a stone, it's just shy, it might be 19.98 carats or 19.5 carat oval aqua, and asking about a beautiful stone, absolutely stunning, gorgeous piece. And I put it on my, you know, I put it on my desk in front of my computer while I was kind of like working all day, just for it to kind of say, like, because, you know, they said, oh, can you give us a quote for a ring? And I said, no, okay, I don't want to. I said, I'll give you a quote for a ring, but I'll actually give you, you know, two or three quotes just so you have a couple of options. Right. I don't like to just, you know, say something here basic. So, it was sitting there and yeah, you just kind of, you know, sit there and you look at it and you think about it and it's gorgeous. And yeah, it needs to, you know, it's like you said, it does speak to you a little bit and it does call to you a little bit and it says, this is what I want done. You know, and when you have a really, you know, when you have a really extra super duper special piece, you know, you don't even want to, you know, you want to make sure you have as little metal as possible. It's like, yes. I just want to showcase. All I'm doing is showcasing this insanely beautiful gem.
Yeah, that's how I wrap. I don't want to take away from the gem. And I've seen some really stunning wire wraps that are so intricate and detailed, but you can barely see the gems. And I'm like, no, I have to showcase the stone because that's, to me, that's the focal.
Yeah.
But everything speaks to somebody. There's somebody out there that your pieces are for. You know, I fully believe that.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of the time, and I mean, you probably have the same thing. I mean, sometimes you also have this thing of just, you just have to make a piece, right? Something you're just like, this has to be made. All right, it has to happen. And, you know, it's, you know, you send it off and you make it and then you're like, oh, I hope somebody buys it because I had to make it. I don't know if anybody's going to buy it, but I had to make it. So
for me, if I make it, and I always say this to people, if my jewelry doesn't sell, that's okay because I have a really badass jewelry collection. Right. You know?
Yeah.
That's a good way of looking at it. Even if I can't wear the ring, you know, I can put it on a necklace and wear it that way. You know?
Yeah, no, that's it. You know, oh, it's a big piece, no problem. Yeah, I'll often say to people that the only reason I actually sell gems and the only reason I sell jewelry is so I can go out and buy more gems and make more jewelry.
Right. Yeah, it is an addiction. It really is.
Yeah, it's
it's just like I get a thrill when you just go to a gem show and you see like just millions and millions of gemstones and minerals, and it's a head rush.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm in a camp.
Oh, you guys must be open down there and have shows and stuff. We haven't had, I mean, up here in Toronto, we're
I was going to do the Mother's Day gym show in Atlanta last year, but because I actually had COVID last March, right before they started testing.
Oh, shoot. So, well, that's, I mean, yeah. Actually, that's not the worst. That's like, because they say that's better than getting the vaccine, even as far as like how well it protects you. But
I don't know. It's up in the air. One day they're saying, oh, you're protected for 6 months, or it's 3 months, or it's not at all. So, but I know how to, in my mind, I know how to beat it. And you really, it goes down to what you said. You have to have that will to live, first of all. But I was researching, because I write stuff for Clean Technica, which is like a news site for EVs and stuff. And I had been writing during that time a lot of articles about Tesla in China and how the Tesla China plant just closed down. And then they were starting to reopen, or just like little news things like that. So I had all these Chinese, not news sites in Chinese, but these articles about stuff going on in China in my Google home feed, because you know how Google.
Right. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
One article about how two Chinese doctors caught COVID and one died and one lived. They were the same age, but one of them used, the one who lived, used traditional Chinese medicine along with the modern treatment. So I started researching TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, on ways to support your respiratory system, because I have asthma and it was really messed. I could not breathe when I had it. I thought I was going to die. You know, and I could not get out of bed. Like, I could not go to the kitchen, to the bathroom without literally struggling to breathe. And it was just, it reminded me of when I was first diagnosed with asthma. So it was that bad. So I just did the research and I came across, and I forgot the name of the herb, but it had a supplement or a mineral, not a mineral. I don't know the word, but it had N-acetylcysteine in it. And so I was like, okay, so if N-acetylcysteine, which is NAC, is supposedly the key ingredient in this root that I don't have access to, and it's probably going to take months to get to me, where can I find this? So I Googled that, and come to find out, they sell them on Amazon for $15 a bottle for like a 2-month supply. So I started with this 600 dose. And now I take like 1,000 as a preventative pretty much every other day. But I'm telling you, within 24 hours of taking that supplement, I was better. It was like I was getting a breathing treatment without going to the hospital better. Like, I went from can't breathe, I feel like I'm about to die, to the next day to actually having energy. You know, so, and I just started taking it, and it took me about 3 weeks to get over that worst part. And then about a month and a half after, just to get to where I could walk outside without gasping. Like, I would gasp for breath if I walked to the corner store.
Really?
Yeah, it was that bad for me last year. And I didn't get fully better until June. So when May came, I was just too sick to even go to Atlanta. And then everything was in full shutdown by then. And I don't know if they can't, I assume they canceled the gym show there. But I haven't been to a gym show since 2019. There is a guy who travels around the South. And but his prices are a little bit, you know, higher. But I usually buy from him just to support him because he's a good person. You know, everybody's got to make their money. But I haven't been to his shows. They had one just this past weekend, and my cat has surgery Monday, so I had to save my money for that. But I haven't been to his show since, I want to say, October last year. He has him at the local hotel by my house. But other than that, I have not been to a big show. I have not done anything since 2019. And I'm hoping to. They have one in New Orleans and Gonzales here in Louisiana. And Gonzales is like 30 minutes away from me. So I'm hoping to go to that one if they're having it this year.
Yeah, I haven't been. I was in Tucson 2020.
Oh, right before everyone
went to. Yeah, it was. That was it. That was the last one. So, missing Tucson 2021. Actually, it's the first Tucson I've missed since 2000. So the first one I ever went to was in 2000. And I was at 21 in a row. I missed out last year this year, I guess. It's anyway. So kind of bummed, but whatever.
Yeah, well, we had Mardi Gras canceled. And, you know, everybody in my neighborhood was talking about they can't cancel Mardi Gras. Hell, this is over. And it literally happened. Like, Mardi Gras this year, we were inside. It was iced over.
Oh,
like, it was so cold. Oh, my goodness. Like, I'm glad I had my power.
That's right. I didn't realize that was at the same time. Like, I, you know, I'm like, it kind of sort of. it's an event on the calendar here, but right, like it's Ash Wednesday, we know about it. Like it's a non thing. It's a it.
Oh no, it's religious
yeah.
here, especially in South Louisiana, where everything is closed on Mardi Gras. Like all the state offices are closed. The post office is not closed because that's a federal, but it was closed that day because of the storm. Yeah, every like you know, all the state offices are pretty, the schools, all of that are closed on Mardi Gras in South Louisiana. North Louisiana, not so much, but it just depends. This is one of my favorite holidays. Go to parades, catch beads, get chase buses.
In that order. That's
yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. I was a kid, you know, and I should not have been doing this as a kid, but I was at one of the I think it was the Crew of Gemini, I think, parade in Shreveport, Bossier. And I was on the Bossier City side. See, Shreveport, Bossier is separated by the Red River. And so I was on the Bossier side. And I was by myself. I'm about maybe 15, 16, maybe 17, just hanging out with some random people. And, you know, they always say, throw me something, mister. You raise your shirt up, show off your boobs, and get you some beads, right? So everybody was doing it. I did it, too. But this one cop who knew my mom.
No way.
And she chased me. She's like, I'm going to arrest you. I said, I took off running. I ran into this random group of people. I'm like, hey, the cop's after me. Get me out of here. So they picked me up in their truck, and they dropped me off at home. And, of course, the cop had already called my mom. And my mom was like, Johnny, what happened? I was like, I don't know. And later I saw that police officer, and she's like, I bet you got whooped, huh? I was like, no.
Oh man.
Yeah, but caught me some beads. They're not real gemstone beads, but they're fun.
Tell was me that, was that, that was that thunder?
Yes, it's been the booming the whole entire. I'm hoping it doesn't overtake the podcast, but if it does, it'll be kind of interesting. It was a dark and stormy podcast about gemstones. Yes, unfortunately, knocking on wood here, there hasn't been any tornadoes. So here they touched down in Mississippi earlier, and that's as far as I know. But our radio, I listen to the radio, NPR, and the jazz station a lot, and they were like, "Take cover!"
Really?
It was right before the podcast started, and I was like, oh my, but my phone would go off if it was here because, you know, it would tell you to take cover. Oh, and it did it. So I was like, okay, it's safe.
Oh man, that's funny. That's funny. All right. So what else? Well,
it's been great.
With the podcast.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a great hour. I can't believe an hour has passed.
It has. So, yeah, I mean, thanks for having me on.
Coming on. Glad you accepted my
invite. Yeah, well, for your customers again, it's skygems.ca. You can check us out. It's SKYJEMS.
If you send me your email me your Instagram, because I want to get that. I'm going to use the Ruby photo as the podcast cover.
Good call. Okay, yeah, you know, I'll totally do that. Sounds good. Awesome. All right.
Well, it was great talking to you, David. Thank you so much for
thanks
your time.
So much, Jonna. You have yourself a great day.
Getting Stoned is a podcast about gems and minerals and great conversation, and is open to having guests on the show. Topics such as gems, minerals, and technology are core to the podcast, but we keep it fun by encouraging open conversation as well. Getting Stoned currently has sponsorship opportunities starting just at $1 a month. To become a sponsor or sign up to be a guest on the podcast, please visit www.gettingstoned.online.